Okay, again, Shalom Aleichem. Repeat the Shalom Aleichem for the recording. So, also repeat the place where in the Lev Toiv, where in Shar Avodas Elikim, in the Psicha, in the Lev Toiv, it's page Kuf Pei He, and in the Feldheim, page 236. Okay, the Chayvus Halvavus is trying to move us into the mentality of a dedicated Oved Hashem, a committed devotee of Hashem. So he's been building it up. Excuse me, I'm going to recap every time, since the Chayvus Halvavus is such a build-up. We'll spend like a moment or two each time just recapping the build-up. So he spent a lot of time in Shara B'china getting us used to, conditioning us to experience the Chesed Hashem that surrounds us and that envelops us in our lives. We began tasting the concept of really internalizing these things and sensing them. And he wants to move us from there to Shara Avodas Elikim, which is developing a sense of indebtedness as a result. In the Chayvus Halvavus' world, one of the most basic traits of a decent human being is gratitude. And therefore, it's obvious to him that when a person really starts sensing all that chesed, he'll feel this urge, this drive to just do what he can for Hashem. Now, he goes here and he's trying to introduce two new dimensions to Hashem's chesed. Meaning, besides the actual benefits that we get from Hashem, there are two additional perspectives that should enhance our appreciation that much more. And the first one we spoke about last week was a fine point, the understanding that Hashem is completely and entirely altruistic. Meaning, if almost any human chesed will involve some self-serving element, even the most noble forms of human chesed have a certain element of self-serving. Like he said, even a parent to a child, which is one of the most noble forms of chesed that exists, there's a certain nature there. It's almost as though the parent can't do otherwise. The parent would have a hard time watching if the child was neglected. It's almost as though the parent has to relieve themselves by caring for the child. Now, of course, as we stress, this is not to undermine the chesed of a parent. But we're saying by Hashem there was no such thing. He had no need. You know what? He had no need to create us in the first place. And therefore, his chesed is just absolutely pure. He decided he wanted to create you. He decided he wanted to love you. It wasn't to fill any need of his. It wasn't to satisfy any urge. It was just a decision on his part. He wants to create you. He wants to love you. He wants to benefit you. And now there's another dimension. And this is where we're going to start now. Another point to note is that ki kol meitiv lizulasa mibnei adam. Again, we're on page, in the Lev Tov, we're on page Kuf Pei He. In the English Feldheim edition, it's page 236. Another point to note is ki kol meitiv lizulasa mibnei adam. In any case where there's chesed, again, he's trying to extrapolate from the gratitude we might feel to humans who do chesed for us, and how toward Hashem it should be that much more. Anytime one human being does chesed for another, the differences between them, the fact that one is more in position to give while the other is more needy, is circumstantial. Meaning, there isn't like this essential difference that, you know, Reuven is more able, more rich, while Shimon is essentially and inherently more needy. It happens to be that Reuven was born into different circumstances, but or worked himself into different circumstances, but they're both the same type of species. They're both the same being. Aval benishusam va'atz Ba'atzmam Yimshalim. They're both the same in the sense of both being mortal, flesh and blood. Ukroivim zeh lezeh be'etzem. They are inherently similar to each other. Ubidmus, ubechiburam, ubetzalmam, v'tevayim, v'rev mikreim. In general, they're two of the same kind. Ve'im kol zeh, nevertheless, chayav mishemetivim loy min avoido lametiv ma shesiparno. A person definitely has to submit himself and express gratitude and act gratefully toward a benefactor. And what's the point that the Chovim Salvavus is going to make here? The point that he's going to make here is that, besides the objective value of benefit that you receive from somebody, another dimension of the chesed is the, instead of trying to put it into words, I'll illustrate it with a mashal. We've discussed this in the past. If you have two businessmen, they both work in the same office building, across the hall from each other. And one of them falls on hard times. And while the other one is doing well, they've known each other for years. And the fellow who falls on hard times comes and tells his friend about what's going on. And the friend says, look, I really want to help you out. I'm going to give you a loan of $500,000. I want you to get yourself back on your feet. Or, you know what, I'm just going to give you $100,000. I'm doing well. I want to help you get back on your feet. Okay, that's certainly a very, very great chesed. It's a very great chesed. But now let's contrast that with another form of chesed. I mean, it's a great chesed, but it's something that makes sense. There are two people who are basically in the same boat. They share experiences. One relates to the other very naturally. And therefore, he relates to what he's going through and he wants to do chesed. But now, let's picture a different scene. This fellow who's doing well steps out of his fancy office building in Manhattan. And as he steps out of the building, he sees on the floor outside of his building, there is a homeless fellow lying there with his little wagon, with his few belongings. And this man stands there for a minute and says, you know, usually you don't even notice these people. You walk by, maybe you throw them something, maybe you don't. They don't give a thought into their reality. It's just like it's a part of the scenery. It's not something that would attract his attention in terms of, what's going on with this person? It's so far from his world, it's not a part of his frame of reference, right? But let's say this person decides, he says, one minute, let me think about this for a minute. He stands there, he observes this homeless person, he tries to think about the fact that this is a person just like me. The fact that he's homeless doesn't mean that he's any more comfortable sleeping in the street than I would be. And he goes over, starts talking to him, asks him a life story, and then he decides with this person also, I want to do something to help him get himself back on his feet. And therefore, he starts talking about different business ideas, this, that, and gives him a grant. Also, decides, you know what? I'm going to give him, this guy has a mind. He can, if he's set in the right direction, he can do something with himself. So he tells this fellow also here, you know what? I am investing, again, a couple of $100,000 in you. I want you to build up a business. When you have a good, successful business, you'll pay me back. Now, if you just talk about what he gave, he didn't do anything more for this latter guy than he did for the first guy. In both cases, he gave them a couple hundred thousand dollars. But yet, we would probably all say that the latter case demonstrates a much higher level of chesed. Because the fact that he's willing to relate to him at all is already a very, very magnanimous attitude on his part, because it's not natural. They're in such different places, they're so far from each other that it shouldn't even really attract his attention. So therefore, in terms of the nobility that he demonstrated, we might say that it's much greater in the latter case than in the previous case. In the previous case, it's also a very, very great thing. But it's much more natural. It's more natural for someone to relate to somebody else who's within his frame of reference, who he can identify with, relate to in some way. But for a person to go and relate to somebody who's so far beneath him in terms of status, so far beneath him in terms of frame of reference, etc., that adds a whole new dimension to the chesed. And here's the point that the Chovas HaLevavos is driving toward. Let's move a little further inside. V'chein kasha nachshav, if we were to consider, ki ha-meitiv ba-toiva, toiva shalim yikol nimtza, if you have a person who does benefit for somebody else, and he is in the most perfect state, he's rich, he's healthy, he's successful, u'mishamitivin lo garua mikol nimtza, and he goes into some slum hospital and finds some sickly homeless person who is in a worse state and weaker mikol nivra from anybody else around. Hasechal mechayev b'tzeifes ha'avoida, the gratitude that this person would now have to feel is so much greater. Why? Just because of the fact that this person wants to relate to him at all already enhances the chesed and enhances the debt of gratitude that he has. So where's the Chovas HaLevavos going with this? He says, Kasha nivchan ala kosha azois. If we will extrapolate this understanding, and we extrapolate it to the relationship between Hashem and people, we'll see that Hashem is nala v'niso meroimam, way up and above and beyond al kol nimtza v'kol musog b'argosho b'seichel. Not only is he above and beyond anything that exists, but he's also above and beyond anything that could possibly be sensed or comprehended. As we've already discussed earlier. Now, and he's not relating and deciding to do chesed to help out another divine being. He's reaching it down. He's reaching down to lowly man and doing chesed with him, even though theoretically, philosophically, man should have been so low down that he's simply not on Hashem's radar screen. And the Chovas HaLevavos goes ahead and in a blunt way wants to illustrate to us quite how lowly man is. So he says, "Chein nimtza odom ba'koshose el shalmini achayim," man, relative to other forms of life, other animals, she'ina medavrim, other animals that are not as intelligent as man, chose v'chalosh mikulam, he is more feeble, more needy than basically all of wildlife. What does he mean by that? He says, v'yiroe l'choze b'shloisha inyanim. You'll see that in three ways. I'm sorry, I'm hearing static, so I'm just going to unmute and ask if you're hearing static on your end. And if yes, then we'll see what we can do. Just a second. Is everybody hearing static?
A little
no,
static.
No, slightly, yes. But not terrible.
Not terrible?
Not at all. No, not
okay.
At all. Oh, not
okay,
at all.
So then I'll continue, assuming that it's okay. I'm hearing it a little significantly on my end, but I'll continue, assuming that it's okay. So we'll meet again with everyone's rishus, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the Chovas HaLevavos says, you'll find that man is more feeble, more needy than other forms of life in three ways. Echad mehem. This is a very interesting insight of the Chovas HaLevavos. You know, at this point, I'll just say it outside. Sometimes reading, when I combine reading with saying it out so we can move, but at the same time feel like we're connected to the text. First of all, animals, You see a horse is born. He's on his feet. A horse, some other behemoth, a sheep, a cow. He's on his feet in a matter of minutes. On his feet, moving around, starting to explore in a matter of minutes. Animals, they start learning to fend for themselves at a very, very early age, whatever the animal is. I don't know if there's anything in the wild world that's still dependent on its mother at the year at the age of a year. I don't know. But certainly, the man is record-breaking in the fact that he's dependent for so long, until the age of, let's say, okay, if we're talking contemporary terms, till the age of 17, 18, 19, a child is dependent on his parents. Let's say theoretically he could start fending for himself at an earlier age. Fine, let's give it 15. 15 years. For many animals, that's the entire lifespan. Man is so slow in getting himself on his feet. This is one sense where man is much needier than other animals. What's the Chavos HaVavos trying to do here? The Chavos HaVavos is trying to get us off our high horses and try to imbue us with a sense of humility, just in terms of appreciating that when we're approaching Hashem, when we're dealing with Hashem, there's something very, so to speak, almost inappropriate about the fact that we're even relating to Hashem. But on the contrary, Hashem wants to relate to us anyways. And that's where we should simply be overwhelmed with appreciation for that and approach Hashem in a very submissive way. Let's see. So that's point number one, in terms of quite how dependent and needy man is for so long before he can get his act together. Number two is how, and again, excuse me, the Chavos HaVavos is being blunt and harsh here, how filthy man is. How filthy man is. You walk into a barn. You walk into, you know, a place where you go to one of these places, you have a lot of cows. It's not a great smell, but it's bearable. People who appreciate nature can even kind of like it. You see these rows where there's like, you know, 50 cows, and the floor is covered with manure, and you can walk by, you can stand and look at the cows. Doesn't smell great. Human waste is so much more foul. Human waste is so much more disgusting. If you're in the area, it can become mamish unbearable to be near. Usually, it goes into the water. But when it isn't, it mamish can create a situation. You can't be in the area. And another point that he makes is that, again, you go next to a cow. Once again, cows are not the most sweet-smelling things around. You go next to a dog, you go next to a cat, whatever it is. Animals are not the most sweet-smelling things. But again, It's bearable. If you try to get near a human being, let's say any of us, doesn't shower for a week, it's very hard to be near the person. We have to be constantly scrubbing and scrubbing ourselves in order to be approachable. And again, he adds another point, which this I've never actually experienced, Baruch Hashem, this is why we do Kvura. But he says that the corpse of a human being becomes much, much, much more repulsive than the corpse of an animal. So that's point number two. That just in terms of filth, man is a much more disgusting being than animals. And we have to constantly be squashing ourselves down in order to just be able to be near other people. Right? Number three, he says, is that man's instincts are much less developed. Man has to do a lot of learning in order to be able to care for himself. And if he loses his intelligence, when a man loses his sanity, he becomes completely, completely helpless and vulnerable. Whereas animals have instincts that enable them to care for themselves. This is a little bit of a different point from the first point. The first point is how long man is a dependent. But the second, this point here, is that when man is not operating at full steam, he becomes so much more vulnerable. Everything becomes an issue: food, shelter, clothing. Whereas animals are much more capable of just fending for themselves and dealing. So basically, what he's coming and saying is, man is a very feeble, repulsive thing. Now, don't be offended, because he was also human. But he wants us to appreciate how magnanimous Hashem is being by enabling us to get close to him. Now, you might ask, wait a minute, but this is not our fault. Like, what do you expect from us? On the contrary, that's not the issue. The point is, Hashem wants you to understand, wants you to appreciate quite how big it is that he wants to relate to you, and therefore, on the contrary, grants you means of approaching him more submissively. So you might ask, well, why do I need to be embarrassed about something that's inherent to human nature? So again, we have to remember, this is not a matter of fault, but let's give like a following mushal. Let's give the following mushal. You're on your way to a wedding, to a very fancy wedding. You went and you rented, you have a special evening gown. A special evening gown, and you're all made up. And on the way, you're passing by a big sewage, a big cesspool, a sewer area, and there's a kid drowning in there. So you dive in, wedding evening gown and all, with all the makeup and all the jewelry, dive in to save the kid, and come out with the kid. You saved his life. You've just done a very, very great thing. And everybody is very, very impressed and amazed and giving you big yashar koach. But Lamaisa, what are you coated with right now? So everybody is very amazed at you. Everybody, but Lamaisa, the reporters who want to get the scoop, they don't want to get too close, right? So now, word gets around to the wedding. Everybody hears that you dove into this cesspool and saved the kid. Now, you show up at the wedding, very, very proud, walk in as is. And, you know, go right up to the caller, give her a hug, and be ready to dance with her. Everybody knows that it's not your fault. Right? On the contrary, everybody knows that you just did a great thing. Still, if you end up in that wedding hall, you're going to be keeping to the side. You're not going to want to get too close to anybody. You feel very self-conscious of yourself. Even though this is not your fault, on the contrary, you did something very great. Because there's just a certain reality here. And this reality is that you just, you know, until you manage to get home and shower and change, you don't want to get too close to anybody because of the reality. So what Chaim Salvavis is trying to do here is get us to appreciate that a human being approaching Hashem, a human being who's given the ability to get so close to Hashem, closer than the Malachim, should feel very self-conscious. Hashem is urging him and telling him, come close anyways. But you know what? Part of that is, if you understand how essentially inappropriate it is for you to approach Hashem, then you can appreciate that much more what it means that Hashem is pulling you close, and you approach that much more submissively. This is why there's a number of different things, interesting halachas, that may seem strange. But you know what? This is really the purpose of man's lowliness, if we'll put it that way. It's to enable him to feel the submissiveness that he should really be feeling anyways. There's a very interesting tefillah from the Gemara. That's brought in Shulchan Aruch. It says we don't say it today because, well, we'll explain why in a moment. When a person enters the bathroom, it is a tefillah that you're supposed to say addressing the malachim who accompany you. Every person is accompanied by malachim who protect him. When a person enters a bathroom, it's a place of uncleanliness. It isn't fitting for malachim to deign to enter such a place. So a person says a tefillah. He says, the wording of it is Hiskabdu mechubadim kedoshe elyon. You know, preserve your dignity, great holy malachim, and wait for me outside while I go in to do what human beings do, and protect me and assist me, because this is the way of human beings. It's almost like you take leave of them and you apologize. You say, I have to go somewhere now. This is not fitting for creatures, beings such as you. But, you know, this is something that human beings have to do. It's almost like you're apologizing to them and asking them, please don't forsake me while I do this. What can I do? I'm human. Now, again, is there anything wrong with being human? There's nothing wrong with being human. There's everything right about being human. But part of what's right about being human is the ability to know our place when we're approaching Hashem. So this is what the Chavos of Avos is trying to impress on us. Realize that this is a Hashem, the supreme Hashem, who has billions of malachim just sweating rivers of fire because of how terrified they are of approaching him. Okay? I don't know exactly what that means, but this is what the Sfarim tell us. And this Hashem is approaching you and drawing you close. And we should realize that, yes, a mortal human being who's dressed in flesh and blood with all of its limitations and all of its repulsiveness, the way the Chavos of Avos is putting it, should feel very submissive and self-conscious. And on the contrary, that's part of developing a very great relationship with Hashem. It's the understanding of the difference between us and Hashem. It's not like you approach Hashem, well, of course he's interested in me. Why shouldn't he be? I'm interested in myself. Okay. So, we move on. He wants us to appreciate this added dimension of Hashem's chesed. Is choosing to relate to beings as lowly as us. Okay. So, let's just sum up what we've seen here. Some fine points. The Chavos of Avos is trying to get us to appreciate Hashem's chesed outside of just the value of the benefits themselves, which is immense, in two ways. First of all, appreciating that Hashem Chesed is absolutely altruistic, not self-serving in any way, not driven by any nature. He just decided that he wants to create you and love you and do benefit for you. And number two, in the very fact that Hashem, we should be awed by the fact that if we study our own lowliness a little bit, to be awed by the fact that Hashem wants to draw us close and relate to us. Okay. Now, the Chavos of Avos is now going to move on to the next stage of the discussion. And he's going to be continuing his theme. But now he's going to continue his theme by breaking Avodas Hashem into two layers. And we're going to put it this way. This is kind of similar in something of a kind of similar to the more famous concept of Mesilas Yesharim, that there are two levels of Yiras Shamayim. Right? Are you familiar with the concept? There's Yiras HaOinesh and there's Yiras HaRemimus. Yiras HaOinesh means that a person serves Hashem because he knows that if he doesn't, he'll be in trouble. Mesilas Yesharim considers that so basic that he says that Ein Lecha Davar Pashut Mimena. There's nothing more basic than that. I mean, it's not a madrega to serve Hashem because you know that if not, you're going to be in trouble. Now, that was the Mesilas Yesharim talking. For us, yeah, a person who can live his life with the knowledge of if I do the right thing, I'll get reward, and if not, I'll be punished, and every act we do is guided by that realization, that's quite a high level. But the Mesilas Yesharim says that then the next layer, the next level of Avodas Hashem, the next sphere of Avodas Hashem is what he calls Yiras HaRemimus, meaning a person is simply awed at the opportunity, awed at the fact that he's standing in the presence of Hashem and he's being watched by Hashem. There's nothing to do with punishment and reward. It's just appreciating who Hashem is and appreciating that he wants to see me perform is something so awesome that I'm trembling not out of fear, but just out of awe of what's going on. And that he considers a higher, much more refined level. So the Chavos of Avos here is kind of going to do something similar, but he approaches it a little bit differently. He gives it a little bit of a different twist. So at the basic level is what he calls He'ara HaTayriya, the Torah's command. The Torah tells us that we must serve Hashem. We must serve Hashem, and if we don't, there will be. If we do, we'll be rewarded. If we don't, we'll be punished. That is one level. But then, the next level is what he calls He'aras HaSeicha, when a person is motivated by his own seichel. Meaning what? Everything we've been discussing. When a person is motivated by a sense of gratitude, he's not motivated by a sense of you better do what you have to do, otherwise you'll be punished. But he's already, you wouldn't just call it gratitude, he's already learned to sense Hashem. He's already developed that sense of Hashem in his life. And yes, he's developed that sense of indebtedness, he's developed that sense of awe, and he just moves into the realm of appreciating the privilege of serving Hashem, feeling like he can't do enough for Hashem. This is what he calls He'oras HaSeichel, a person who's inspired by his Seichel. So we have He'oras HaTorah, a person who is inspired by the Torah, meaning by the command aspect of it. You better do what you better do because otherwise you'll be punished. And then there's He'oras HaSeichel, a person whose own Seichel is driving him and urging him to dedicate himself to Hashem. So he's going to spend a lot of time now showing why we need each, what are the benefits we get out of each element here, and also very clearly setting it up such that what he calls the He'orah HaTorah, the command of the Torah, is meant to serve as a stepping stone to the higher level of a person who is what we'll call self-driven to serve Hashem. So he says as follows. We'll begin the first perek, perek rishon. Okay, in the Lev Tov, it's page Kuf Pei Tes. Amar HaMechaber. The author says, you know, I'm going to unmute again for 1 minute because by me the static is getting much more significant. So I'm just going to check again if everyone's hearing me okay.
It's coming through fine.
Fine. Yeah.
We're fine.
Okay.
Yeah, no
okay,
doubt.
Then I'll just ignore it and go on. Okay. Okay.
What if we all mute ourselves and you don't mute? Maybe it'll
how do you do it? Don't know how to do it.
No, it's okay. If everyone's hearing me okay, then I'll just continue like this. Fine. Okay. Okay, so we'll begin Perek Rishon of the Chodesh of Shah Avodah Selikim. It's page Kuf Pei Tes in the Lev Tov. Achatzorich al ha'heora al Avodah Hashem v'chalakehu. We need to be operating with two sources of motivation, two things motivating us to serve Hashem. The Torah commanding us and threatening us with punishment if we don't. And our own drive. One without the other won't do. We can't rely on one without the other. Why? It says, "Mipnei she ha'odom chayev ba'avodas Hashem yizbarach." A person is obligated to serve Hashem. Miderech haseichel va'akara. Really, ultimately, where we want to get to is a place of serving Hashem through our own understanding, our own recognition, our own seichel. Not to have to be prompted by reward and punishment. However, in order to get to that level, we understand that not every kid at the age of bas mitzvah or bar mitzvah is automatically going to be there, right? A girl hits the age of 12 years old, a boy hits the age of 13, and says, oh gosh, whoa, I am surrounded by Hashem's chasodim, I better immediately apply myself. No. This level of appreciation, of self-motivation, is something that can take a long time to develop. So therefore, yesh bein eis he'ra'ois ha'toivois ala adam, there is, between the time that a person begins enjoying Hashem's chasadim, when does a person begin enjoying Hashem's chasadim? The time he's conceived in his mother's womb, right? So there's still a bit of a delay between then. Until he gets to the point where he really feels that sense of indebtedness, of commitment, because of all those chasadim, zman aroich, there is going to be a long time in between. It could take years. So hoyisah oras ha'odam ha'mashechayev boi min ha'masim ve'munas ha'lvavos. Therefore, it was necessary, meaning here he's going to explain, why did Hashem have to command at all? Why not let the natural process of man noticing all the goodness and gaining that sense of indebtedness, why not just leave it at that? That's really the ultimate state. So he's really saying the obvious, that if we would leave it at that, how long would it take to get there, and how many would get there at all? So therefore he says, Hashem provides a Torah, sorry, I shouldn't say it that way. Hashem provides the commands with their reward and punishment aspect, kind of like in between, to fill in. Until a person reaches the stage where he's really able to operate just driven by his own appreciation and motivation. So that's why we have to have the Torah commanding us and threatening us with punishment and promising us reward in order to get us on the road in the first place. Okay. Now, how do the two operate with each other? The Torah's command and punishment on the one hand, and a person's own motivation on the other hand. So, first of all, he's going to address in a very, very general way, why do we need mitzvahs at all? Meaning, why couldn't a person go through the process of what Avraham Avinu went through, of gaining an appreciation, of gaining insight, and starting to figure out his own way to dedicate himself to Hashem? Now, the truth is that here it's a rhetorical question. Really, the answer to that is that we wouldn't really know how to serve Hashem properly. The Torah is what gives us the means of connecting to Hashem in the greatest possible way. We could never really know what a God wants from us. We could figure out with our own minds what we think is appropriate, but that would only be a part of the picture. But the Chavos HaLevavos wants to begin from Aleph Beis, and show us a number of the benefits that the whole system of the Torah as a heavenly given thing provides us that we would not be able to come to with if we were just operating based on our own drive and our own appreciation. Meaning, even if we were to take that drive and really apply ourselves to Avodas Hashem and start figuring out all kinds of different ways to live as a better human being and dedicate our lives to that, there would still be things that we'd be missing without the system that the Torah provides for us. So we'll just introduce the first one, and then we'll leave the elaboration for next week. And this is already the beginning, the Perek Sheni, the second Perek of Shavuot des Elikim. He says, man, Chayes HaLavis is kind of like, he does this often, goes all the way back to the basics and builds up from the obvious until the much finer points. He comes and asks a question, which is really like a simplistic question. Need to command us anything at all? Wouldn't man get to it all through his own gratitude? So when we're asked that question, we'd say, oh, come on, man would never get there. We got all kinds of other things on our agenda before trying to focus on gratitude and figuring out how to serve Hashem. So he's going to say that basically, but he's going to break it down in a much more sophisticated way. And he says as follows. He says, yes, a person might have that inner drive, call it his conscience, trying to wake him up and make him understand that he really should be serving Hashem. But you know what? There's going to be a constant tug of war because man has all of these, his physical drives, right? All the physical pleasures that he just wants to throw himself into. And they're going to be pulling away from that. Because to really dedicate yourself to Hashem, it might be different aspects of self-sacrifice or overcoming different urges or giving up on different pleasures. And there's going to be a big part of man that's going to be working against that. So basically, the Chavos HaLevavos says, and this is the first point that he makes, is that man is made up of two parts. We might call it in a broad way, the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara. There's the physical lure too. Everything physical. Which is really needed in order for man to function in the world. Hunger, the attraction to food is a very, very necessary thing in order for man to live. The desire to procreate is a very, very necessary function for man to continue to exist. And yes, the desire for money, the desire for luxuries are all things that are necessary for the world to function. And these things are very strongly in man's nature, and they're there naturally. Nobody needs to teach a person to want these things. Many of the things that man will need in order to make it through life just on the physical level are things that are there naturally. They're operating from day one. Different egoistic drives, different physical drives, they're operating from the beginning. They're operating naturally. Man doesn't have to learn it. And on the other hand, there is the more refined level of man, called the Yetzer Tov, conscience, that is actually going to be pulling man in the other direction and urging him to sometimes give up on physical pleasures, sometimes give up on his own interests for more noble purposes that the conscience senses, that man senses by himself. And there's a certain tug-of-war between these two things. And if the Yetzer Tov would completely win, the natural Yetzer Tov, okay, meaning man's attraction toward the higher, more noble existence, what would end up happening is that man might completely neglect his own needs. Okay, we're really beginning a complicated discussion now. It's very important to clarify well. We don't have the time to do it properly now. So we'll consider ourselves as having just began this subject. But we'll see where he's heading for is to show us how we need the Torah. Even if a person would be completely driven by his own seichel, by his own conscience, etc., and he'd be a very, very spiritual person, he might get himself to a place that would do him in on the other end, meaning he would not live healthily, he would live in a way that would just be detrimental to his health, etc. You need the Torah and the mitzvahs of the Torah to come and strike the perfect balance between man's spiritual drives and the man's physical drives. Okay, we'll see that in Yirtzeh Hashem next week, properly elaborated. Now we'll unmute and we'll part. Okay.
Rav Jacobson, you certainly gave somebody a lot to think about. I have to tell you the truth.
What's that, I'm sorry?
A lot to think about.
Yes, that's what the Chavos Avavos is trying to do to us.
Oh, my.
to give us
amazing.
A lot to think about. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. It's kind of like he conditions the mind.
Oh, wow.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.